Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. I enjoy that song. I don't know if that's the first time you ever heard that song or not, but it's got a great message to it. It's what might look like it's worthless to the world or not worth much in God's hands. Man, it's something special. That's for sure. Praise the Lord for that. Ecclesiastes chapter number, we're actually going to go to chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes is something similar, not obviously not exactly like Proverbs, but there is so much in certain verses. You could preach a whole message in just the verse. And Proverbs is sort of like having a sermon per verse. It's hard to do a whole chapter because each proverb, or at least a few verses together, they tie into a certain point and go on and go on. Here in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is so much and so rich. Last week, we talked about what could cause a person to hate his life. What could cause a man to hate his life? And we talked about the unmet expectations and talked about how Solomon had done it all, experienced it all, been it all, and accomplished it all, had all the fame, and he still said it was worthless. He still said it was vain. And here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, we had the preacher getting to another point in the message. And title of tonight's message is Everything Beautiful in His Time. Everything beautiful in His Time. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, we've been in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you haven't been here for the series so far, it's written by Solomon. We know Solomon as being David's son, also known for having extraordinary wisdom, also known for being a person that was probably the most privileged man to ever live, at least in my mind, being the child of David, having that extraordinary wisdom that was given there, also being able to live in a time of peace as a king in Israel, took Israel farther than any other king had ever done at that point in time. He had made it so much wealth, it seemed like the silver was like stones. There was so much silver around. They had just as much silver as they did had stones. And then the accomplishments they did, from building the temple to Solomon's house, all the different things, the irrigation, all the different things, the navy, all the different things he accomplished. But as you're reading this, he's saying, look, all this is vain, all this is worthless, all this. And it's an overwhelming theme. Without God, no matter what you accomplish, life is really worthless. Without putting God first, without living for God, all this is not going to matter. And last week we looked at the thought, Solomon was saying, hey, I hate my life. Because he came to a couple of realizations. Number one, he's going to die. And he knew it was going to happen soon. And he knew he's just, whether you're wise or fool, you're going to die the same way. And then he said, not only that, when I leave this world, I'm going to have to leave it to somebody else, and I don't know if they're going to be wise or fool. And he came to the spot when he was saying in chapter 2, verse 17, he says, therefore I hated life, because the work is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. So what he's saying is, the work that he did really was worthless, because it wasn't for the Lord. If you do things outside of what God wants you to do and doing it for the Lord, in all reality, it's not going to add up to be much. And Solomon, who accomplished more, you would think a guy that may be down on his luck and been, can't find a date, can't do anything right, that'd be the guy writing this. Now, this is a guy who did accomplish so much, had 700 women, 700 wives, 300 concubines. You know, he had more than, it's amazing what he had. But he's saying, look, if it's done apart from God, and I can give testimony of this in my own life. I think you can give testimony. If we get what we desire really so much, you know what? We always want a little bit more. Unless God is first, unless God is foremost, we're always looking. Oh, if I could just get that, and you get it, and then you're like, you know what? I need this too. And hey, it'd be nice to have this. He's saying, apart from God, if God's not it, if God's not the main focus, your life is going to be one that is full of vexation of spirit. You know, always discouraged, disappointed. What am I doing here? Is this all that there is to life? Is this all that really matters? But when you put God in the equation, you put God first, you're like, this isn't what's important. God's what's important. Eternity is what is important. And what I'm living for is not here and now. I'm living for that day someday. And so, yes, my life does have purpose. My life does have meaning. My life does have something that makes me get up in the morning. and makes me want to do what God wants me to do. So I think we're going to read, just go ahead and read verses 1 through, I think we'll go all the way down to verse number 14, and there's some different points in here tonight, some different things that I'd like to just bring to your attention. But remember Solomon here, remember the guy who's writing it, he is discouraged. He just said in chapter number 2, look, I hated my life, and he says, look, all the things I've done, all these things, they're nothing but vanity. And he's coming to the point where he sees that he's unable really to control things. The first point is the inability of man. And he's saying there's a time for this, time for this, time for this, time for this. And he even says verse number 2, to everything there is a season. So, and I thought about the seasons of life. I thought about the seasons of this of the year. I know there's 4 different seasons. There's winter, spring, summer, fall. And as I said earlier, I like this weather. I wouldn't mind it being fall all year round. You know what? I can't control that. I'm unable to do that. Some of you might want it to be summer all year round. I think you're crazy. Some of you might want it to be winter all year round. I think you're crazier than the people that want it to be winter. And now spring, you can make an argument for that. But fall is when you, lots of times you're getting harvest too. So that's a positive thing. But here he's like, these seasons are happening. And as these seasons are happening, there's nothing I can do. And I think in our own life, we think about the different things that we happen. Sometimes we're young, sometimes we're old. As we get younger, we think certain things are never going to come. As we get older, we think things are never going to happen again. I don't know about you, sometimes there's time when there's a little bit more money, and there's sometimes when there's not as much money. Sometimes there's times when we feel really great, and those days I know might not be as many as the other way, but sometimes there's days we don't feel well. Sometimes it feels like the burdens are just coming down on us. And other times it feels like, hey, life is great and wonderful. God's working it all out. And as he's writing this, he says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a purpose in this. These seasons are not just to come and to go. There's something that can happen that God can make everything beautiful in his time. Look what it says, verse number 2. A time to be born. I don't think anybody can really pick that. Did you pick where you were going to be born at? Probably not. Now your parents might have had some type of surgery that you knew was going to happen. And both my sons came right when the surgery was, you know, scheduled in a sense. So one was an emergency C-section, but we knew it was going to happen in a certain period of time. But I didn't get to pick when I was born, where I was born. I didn't get to pick what color I was. I didn't get to pick how wealthy my family was. I didn't get to pick anything about me, per se. I wasn't in control of that. He says there's a time to be born and a time to die. And I know sometimes people will commit murder and they'll kill themselves, but at the same time, God's the one that's in control, giver and taker of life. You think about the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah prayed to God and God gave him 15 more years. He's the one that says, hey, it's time for you to go. We put things in God's hands. Doctors can say you have 6 months to live. You're not promised tomorrow. And you know what? The doctors have been wrong many times before in the past. They're just practicing medicine, doing the best they can. I'm thankful for them. He says, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh. Time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, see, we don't like that part because we're Baptists. We don't dance, right? So, in the biblical, you know, the type of Bible dancing they did and the the way they celebrate it and things like that, it's completely different than the dancing they do today. The things they do today and the sexual way that they do things, you can't say that that's what the people were praising the Lord with. That's just something completely different. Time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? So he's giving some extremes here. He's going through and he's looking at his life and he's saying, no matter what I do, there's different seasons of life. I'm experiencing all these things. All these different things are happening. And he says, what is the profit there? Verse number 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Lord, as we come to this passage, there's, I believe, a lot of different things in it, and we're not going to cover everything tonight. But there's some really powerful truths that I believe Solomon learned over these years. And now he's recording it in the scripture here so we can see why he came to the conclusion that we should fear God and keep his commandments. And why he said that's the whole conclusion of the matter. Lord, help us to not spend our whole lives looking for the answer. Instead, help us to figure it out. Help us to figure it out even now so we can spend our lives serving you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for this book that teaches us so many wonderful and powerful truths. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing I want you to think about is the inability of man. And as I was reading verses 1 through 8, and I'm seeing all the different contrasts, I began thinking about the different contrasts of things that have happened in my life. And as I look across the room, I know many of you, and I've seen ups and downs in your lives. We've seen births, and we've seen deaths. We've seen people get sick. We've seen people recover. We've seen people have different things that happen to them that they never recovered from. We've seen people, as it says, a time to laugh, a time to mourn. We've seen people say, hey, it's a time to plant, it is a time to pluck up. And I began thinking about some of the things in my life that I look at and I say, I don't know how I ever made it through some of those things. It was completely taken out of my hands. And you know what? That's the best place for it. It's when we put it in God's hands. But sometimes, and I'm sure in your own life, there are times when we look at things and we have to just put it on the altar and say, God, you know I can't do anything about this. As a pastor, there's sometimes relationships and there's things that happen and things you wish that would just change. And you, if you could physically change an attitude or personality, you would do it, but you can't. And it's God that has to do that. And sometimes it means that there's hardship and hard times and hard feelings. Even sometimes with sicknesses. I think about Alyssa. And I'm talking to Mr. Scott as he was telling me this, and my heart is breaking, and I'm thinking, man, can you imagine what Mr. Scott would trade places with her in a second if he could, but he can't. There's an inability to man. There is something that man is not able to do. There's a time when it's time to cast it away. There's a time when it's time to gather. And there is probably even a sermon inside these different things. But we're not going to spend time thinking about all that. But I do want you to think it shows us there's something that we're not able to do. We're incapable of doing certain things. We can't fix the seasons. We can't make it fall all year round. We can't make it spring all year round. But the question is, what can we control? When I am presented with the inability that I have, and I'm thinking, hey, you know what, I can't fix Alyssa, but what can I do? When I can't fix this relationship, but what is it that I can do? And then I'm wondering, okay, if I have so much inability, and that's what Solomon, here he's there, he's done all these things, and he's gotten to the point where he said, I hated life, he's accomplished all these things, and he's saying, I'm watching it, and it's just like time's just happening right in front of me, the seasons are coming, the seasons are going, and people are getting older, and people are this, and I don't know about you, but I turn around, there's people that were kids, babies before, and man, they're grown-ups now. I have a son that's, he's 20, right? 20 years old. And I have a son that's 18 years old. See, I got it right. And, I turn around and I see certain people. And I'm thinking, wow, what happened to them? And then I look in the mirror and I say, wow, what happened to me? And then I was, as I said, I was at the Victory Revival, and I haven't been there over to the service for a few years. They haven't had revival services as much, or I haven't had the chance to go over there. And I saw some of them, and man, they look older. None of you look older, but they look older. And I guess that's another good reason to come to their church. You fountain of life here. You don't have to, you always look young. But, you know, and I began thinking, so if I'm not in control of these things, what do I have a say in? And because Solomon here, he's saying, and he even says it in verse number 9, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? What's the point? So what is it that I'm controlling? So here's what I'm thinking. What am I giving myself to, and what am I devoting my energy to? The things that I can control, the things that I can do, how am I doing at that? I can't help Alyssa, but I can pray for her. I can't help a relationship, but I can lead as an example. I can pray. I can't personally take someone to heaven, but I can tell them about Christ and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I can't fix America. That's out of my wheel well. I'm not capable. I don't know. There is one that can. Have you guys seen those signs? 2020 for Jesus. Jesus for 2020. You know, that's. And I had somebody text me today and said, hey, I got a new candidate I'm going to vote for. And I said, you got my vote too. If he was running, that's who I'd be voting for. But he's not. But there is things in my ability, my time, my resources. What am I using those for? There are things that are out of my control, but the things that are in my control, my time, my resources, my talents, the things that God has given me, how am I using those? And Solomon here, he's saying, look, you know, what profit is it? How is it helping? What is the good part of this? Why is this even matter? It's because it's without God. Because I know I see missionaries that can go across the world and maybe only see a few people saved in a four-year period, but they have the joy of God on their heart. You know why? It's because they're doing it for the right reasons. They're not doing it for themselves. They're not saying, man, I hate life. Is life easy for them? Of course it's not. At the same time, I see people that have joy in their heart who's just rejoicing that they've been redeemed, like we were heard them singing. You know, I sing because I cannot be silent. And I'm excited about all these things because they're living for God. And he says, and as we see the seasons go and change, what are we doing what we're actually in control of? Solomon here is very discouraged, and he's saying in verse number 10, I have seen the travail which God have given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. You know, I've seen the work, I've seen the heartache that's there, the travail that's there. And he says, what profit is it? It's a profit when you serve God. When you don't, it's just going to be continually a vexation of spirit. And I want to encourage, and I wish even some of the young people could hear it. It's going to vex your spirit. If you want the joy of the Lord on your heart and in your soul, you got to live for Him. He's got to be first and foremost in your life. And that's the whole point of the sermon that Solomon is giving. At the end, he says, the whole conclusion of the matter is fear God and keep His commandments. And he's saying, seasons come and seasons go, and I can't change any of that. But what can I change is the question. What am I able to do? I'm able to read my Bible. I'm able to pray. I'm able to tell people. I'm able to give what I have over to the Lord. It might not be much, but it's something I can give to Him. So we see the inability of man. The second point I want you to think about is the ability of God. Yeah, God is amazing. He's the one that brings the seasons in. He's the one that can make it fall all year round. And I'm sure it's fall somewhere all year round, but it's not here. Look what it says in verse number 11. And I know this is more apical than is probably textual that's written inside of this, but there's just a powerful truth there. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. It's saying that all these things have happened and that God can make everything beautiful in His time. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good to them that love God and called according to His purpose. That God can take everything, the time to pluck and the time to plant, the time to mourn and the time to dance, the time to cry and the time to laugh. You know what? In His time, in His way, if you're living for Him, He can make it beautiful. And I even like what it says in verse number 14. We're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. And he says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. And the things we do here, if they're not for the Lord and if not in the future, we're leaving them behind. And as Solomon said, he says, I don't know if he's going to be wise or a fool, that he's in chapter 2, verse number 19, and who knoweth whether he should be a wise man or a fool. And I've seen so many times where someone who will save and they'll work hard to be able to leave something to their kids or leave something to their grandkids, and they not appreciate it, and they waste it away, and they use it in ways that they would never have. And once again, it was theirs, but it was important to them that they would leave something behind. And Solomon is saying here, he says, there's one thing you got to remember, that what God does, it's forever. And I'm thankful for that. This book, it's forever. They might try to change it. They might try to reword it. They might try to take verses out. They might try to put verses in. But it's forever. His word is settled. And it's settled in heaven. And it's there forever. And I'm excited about the fact that God is able. We are unable. He is the one that is able. And that's what Solomon is saying here. Look, this is vain. This is travail. What profit is this? It's because he's living for himself. He's like, I watch season after season happen. I see all these things happen. People go through this stage of life and that stage of life and all these different things happen. He says, but what's the point? And then he says, you know what? Everything is beautiful in his time. In God's way, in God's timing, he can take a situation and make it amazing. How many times have we seen that in the Bible? How many times have we seen that in our life? I know some of your testimonies. I know some of your testimonies of where you came from and how you're living today, and he's made it beautiful. You might not look super beautiful, but I tell you, he's made it beautiful. I know where he took me and he brought me from, and he's made, and once again, I know I'm not beautiful, but the change he's made in my life, I just praise him for. Mrs. Arnold was telling me she went to college with one of my teachers that I was growing up. She'd been on she asked for a prayer request, and she says, I was talking, and I found out that this lady was from your hometown, and Elkton isn't super big. And she said, well, who's your pastor? And he said, my name. And she said, and he says, she taught you in the third or the fifth grade. I kind of dropped my head and said, Mrs. Arnold, I says, I was a lot different kid back then. I says, I remember the lady, and I remember the lady more than once had to spank me. More than once. And I didn't get it. So they had to send me to the principal. And I said, and there's been a change in my life. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that it's only going to get better. And it's, you know, God, as I let God, God's going to make it something that he can use in the potter's hand. You think about the song tonight, and the beat up and the scarred violin was worthless. But when the touch of the master can play it, everybody said, it can do that? And the same thing with our own lives. It can do that. He can be that. She can be that. And I think about the things I used to do and the things I used to say and the things I used to want. And I'm still ashamed today of the things I struggle with. And I want to do better. I want to do more. But I'm thankful that God is able to take a life and do something special with it. God is able to take any of these seasons. Even when your brothers throw you in a pit and sell you into slavery, you can become second in charge of Egypt. Even when God comes to you and say, hey, I want your best, take him up to a mountain, God can still provide a ram. You know, no matter what it is, God can take it and make something beautiful. As they're throwing stones at Stephen, Saul is sitting there and watching. And I believe it's Stephen's testimony that maybe helped Saul come to the knowledge of the fact that there's something different that Stephen has that I don't have. I have all this knowledge, but that man is sitting there and he's saying, lay not this to his account. And Saul is watching that because he's holding the coats. He can take that life, he can change that life, that martyrdom of Stephen, and make it into somebody that becomes the Apostle Paul. He can take it and make it beautiful. And I think about lives that have been changed, but I think about how many lives have been ruined. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what Solomon could have done if he had lived for God his whole life? The talents he had, the abilities he had, the time of peace that he had, the wisdom that he had, the difference that could have been made. And as we talked about this past Sunday night, we talked about Abraham. It was a journey of faith for him, leaving his hometown, waiting till late in age to have a child. Can you imagine if we would have been? And you say, God's never asked me to give up my son. Well, it's because many of us haven't been patient like Abraham. Many of us haven't followed that faithful walk to Abraham. Could you imagine where we would be at today if we've lived for God our whole life? And maybe some of you had that testimony. Maybe you've walked with him your whole life and you've seen God work and you've seen God move and you have answers to prayer and you can just praise him because he's used you. But I know in my own life, I want more. I desire more. I hunger after him. I thirst after him. I want him to use me. I want him to make things beautiful in his time, in his way, because he's the one that's capable, because I'm unable. I can't do it. God is able and I'm unable. And these times of mourning, these times of weeping, these times it's time to kill, time to heal, time to break down. I need God in all those times. Because those times are just seasons. You turn around and say, man, time just blew by. It's just gone. And as it's gone, you're thinking, where'd it go? Did it really matter? If you didn't live for God, did it make much difference then? The third thing I want you to think about, it's really the two main points, the inability of man, the ability of God. The third thing is we should live with eternity in mind. And I go back to verse number 14 again. It says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Now, I like that phrase. I like that verse. It's a fact that God does forever. He doesn't live in time. He's created time, but he doesn't live in time. But he has created us for eternity. Now, we weren't there way back when, because there is no beginning, no end. But he's created us not for here now. He's created us for eternity. If we were all just going to die and the worms are going to eat us up, I would say that I'm a fool for what I'm doing. You're foolish for sitting here tonight if that's all that happens. But if he has created us in body, soul, and spirit and created us for eternity, then if we give our lives to the Lord, we're not being foolish. He says that it shall be forever. And we've got to believe that by faith. It's not just a fact, it's a faith. But also it's something that we should fear. Look what it says here in verse, keep on going. It says, nothing can be put to it or nothing can be taken from it. I think about examples of that. I think about salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. If we can't add something to salvation, we can't take something away. It was the blood. It was what Jesus Christ did on that cross. You can't bring works. You can't bring gifts and say, hey, I need Christ and something. It doesn't work that way. It's something you can't add to. It's something you can't take away from. The Word of God is supposed to be something similar. It's not something you can add to. You can't take away from. It's God's Word. It's made and it's made forever. And so when we look at that he is, it says, it shall be forever, nothing shall be put to it, and anything can be taken from it. And then he says, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. So I've been thinking here, and as I'm considering this, men should fear before the Lord. Because of our inability and because of God's ability, men should fear. Because we cannot change the seasons, and because these things happen in our lives, we realize them, we take them, and we say, you know what? God can even take this hard time, this low time, this dark time, and he can make it into something beautiful. He can make it something good. If you keep on going in verse number 11, he says, He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also have set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. He's put this world into our heart to the point that we come to this realization that we can't handle ourselves. This world, as Solomon is saying, is worthless, is vain, but it's saying here that we can understand that it's God that maketh it from the beginning to the end. It's God that we're dependent upon. It's God that we trust on, and we should fear the Lord at the end of verse number 14, that men should fear before him. People don't like to hear about a God that we should be afraid of. And I'm not saying we should be afraid. It's saying we should fear him. We should reverence him. We should respect him. You think about, we live in a world today where there's no fear of God before their eyes. People will burn Bibles. Oh, people who mock him and curse his name. And it's not just here in America. It's happened throughout the ages. I wish that God wouldn't let it happen. I wish that God would just kind of zap them, but I'm thankful because, you know, the grace he showed to me, he wants to show to others too. But it says we're supposed to fear. So why is he doing all these things? Is that we should fear before him. Do you fear before him Do you love him? Do you respect him? Do you have the utmost, hey, I'm living for him today? Do you actually don't do something because of the fact that you reverence him and respect him so much that you don't want to do anything that's going to disappoint him? There are people in our lives that we do that with. I won't say this, or I won't do that because I don't want to disappoint the person I'm with. If we would live precious, constantly in the presence of God and that we would fear him, then we would also understand that we're unable, but he is able. Not only should we fear him by living with eternity in mind, but we should have faith in him. Because of the fact that we're unable and he is able, we should have faith in him. Sometimes we wonder, what's going to happen next? I don't know how to do this. That's when it says, by faith. You go to Hebrews chapter number 11. By faith, they did this. By faith, they did that. By faith, they did this. By faith. They were not capable, but they, by faith, did what they know was best. I want to encourage you tonight. We'll continue on in this sermon here. And Solomon is proving a point once again. You're going to live through certain things. And I know things came to my mind. I remember this time in my life where things were hard and they were struggling. Didn't know if I was going to make it through. Didn't know if my family was going to make it through. We keep things privately. But man, it was really, really hard. You know, things seemed like they were falling apart. It was just a season. It was just for a little while. And I don't know how many times I sat on the phone and heard somebody say, Pastor, I don't know if I can make it through. And I tell them, you know you can. You remember when this happened way back when? We didn't think you were going to make it through then either. But God saw you through. Just like he saw you through then, he can see you through today. We can't do it, but he's able. And because he's the one that's able, we should live with fear of him, fear before him, but also we should have faith in him. Which ties in back to what exactly we have that we're in control of. Well, we're supposed to give everything to him, but think about those things that I devote myself to and I devote my energy to. Solomon in chapter number 1 and chapter number 2 said, I gave myself over to wisdom. I gave myself over to pleasure. I gave myself over to accomplishing things. I gave myself over. And he talked about, hey, I gave my heart to this. Nowhere does it say he gave his heart to God. And I wonder what Solomon could have been used by God to do if he would have taken everything God had given him and lived for God his entire life. So, well, that's a good thought. Then I go back and I think, I wonder what God could have done with my life if I would just give everything to him day by day. Laying myself on the altar like we talked about on Sunday morning, presenting her body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. Everything beautiful in his time. You know, someday it's going to be a lot better for some of us. Hopefully for all of us when we get to heaven. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have something you should be afraid of. There is a place called hell that is waiting for you, and once you enter into eternity, you're entering to one of two places. You have something that you need to worry about. But as a Christian and as a believer, everything's going to be beautiful in his time. We can't make it happen, but he's able to. And he does it, and he does it forever. It will last forever. It doesn't do things that last for a little while. It's forever. So, what are we doing with those things that we are in control of? What do I devote my time, my energy, my resources, and my talents to? Let's make sure we're doing what we can with what God's given us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thankful for tonight. Thankful for this passage of Scripture. Lord, it's humbling. At the same time, it's encouraging. God, thank you for being able to make things beautiful. We fail so much and so often. We see so many lives that are marred, so short, ruined by sin. But God, we're thankful for what you can take and make out of it. Thankful for the story of Joseph, how you made it work beautiful in the end. Thankful how you worked things out in Abraham's life and Apostle Paul's life. And God, you can take any situation and get glory out of it. Lord, as long as we're willing to be servants, Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Encourage us with the different seasons of life. Right now, someone might be through one of the seasons of hardship, seasons of mourning, seasons of being fearful. Some might be in that season of joy and rejoicing and crying and dancing. Lord, thank you for the different seasons of life. Lord, we don't have any control over those, but help us to live our lives with what we have control over for you. Help us to fear you. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have a short time.